This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Penn State basketball continues to fight. They've put up some really impressive performances this year, but can they get off the roller coaster? Can they put together some wins and make it a no-doubter that this team can get into the NCAA tournament? That's what we're discussing today, because that's what they discussed yesterday during a press conference. Nate Bauer, who was there, who was at the game on Sunday, he's going to break it all down for you on the Blue White Illustrated Hoops Show. This time, the pleasantries to start the show are our first time we've been talking today. Very busy day today here for Blue White Illustrated. This is the Hoop Show. We're coming to you on a Tuesday. I promise you, at some point, we're going to get a good schedule, and you will know when things are happening. What we're doing right now, by the way, for anyone that cares to know and that wants to know when the Hoop Show is coming up and the show schedule in general, BlueWhiteIllustrated.com each week, usually on Tuesday after we've done the show, I put out the show schedule for the week once we've figured things out, if I've gotten some interviews for the week, however everything shakes out. So you can check out the Blue White Illustrated message board where I put up the weekly schedule. That's the best place right now to know when the Hoops podcast is coming. But today, we had to get this one done early because Penn State smacked, beat up Michigan at home in front of a crowd. And that's where we're going to start today. So Nate, what were your impressions of the game? Also, hi. Yeah.
Hello. Hi. It's good to see you, as always. And yeah, you know what the best schedule is for a Hoops podcast? Anytime. Anytime that there's things to talk about. Penn State really took it to Michigan over the weekend on Sunday afternoon. And really, I think the important part of it for Penn State is the fact that it was not a wire-to-wire crushing, right? Penn State had the lead throughout, but it was a one-point lead for kind of a back-and-forth most of the first half until they got to the last really 5 minutes of the first half. Penn State just went nuts, right? They had 18 straight points. It was an 18-0 run for Penn State. And so what Michigan had going, which was Jet Howard coming off of a bum ankle, really, Juwan Howard said that he should not have even played. Howard was really the only thing going for Michigan. So Penn State defensively was doing well, just took some tough shots that you know, went in. Penn State was able to kind of take that, withstand that pressure from Jet Howard alone. They were able to shut down Hunter Dickinson and go on this 18-0 run that is, this team can get hot. We've known that, but an 18-0 run. And then to be able to convert that into a second half start that extended upon it was kind of a big storyline and a big achievement for this Penn State team this season.
Yeah, that was, you mentioned the shooting. When you've got Mikey Henn out there draining threes, you know you're in the pocket for a game. And the second half, it was everything we've talked about this year of issues coming out of halftime. Penn State played great. One of the things that I know that they talked about on the halftime show and that I noticed as well, and I want to get your opinion on this, was the flow of the first half. Again, less fouls, more ball movement. It seemed like it was a Penn State dictated type of game in terms of the flow of the game, ball movement, and not so much stop and start. Did you get that sense? And how do you think that played out?
Yeah, Michigan didn't take Penn State out of what it wanted to do, which is the recurring theme for opponents that have had success against Penn State, right? Is they defend those opponents defend the perimeter so aggressively, so physically that Penn State's not able to withstand it. And so as opposed to that, Michigan Michigan really had no answers for what Penn State wanted to do. I thought that it was purposeful for Penn State to try to get into the paint early. Penn State had a 16-8 advantage in paint points in the first half. That's not typical for this team, right? So Penn State really made an emphasis on driving to the basket, getting Pickett his post-ups, but then also parlayed that, right? Yes, it was an 18-0 run at the end of a half that was based entirely on three-point shooting, save for Andrew Funk's and one at the end, like the very last 3 points that they had. So they made 5 3-pointers in a row. And a couple of them, Juwan Howard talked about it afterwards, like, you know, shooter's roll, to put it lightly, just shots that went in that,
especially the one that bounced four times and then went in.
So, but you know, look, this is a team that shoots well at the Bryce Jordan Center. We'll get into that in a minute, but for Penn State to play well at the Bryce Jordan Center really isn't a surprise this season. There's ample evidence of it. Yeah. It just so happened that Michigan was a team already, I would describe as ripe for packing it in, and they did, right? They, like, once they got down, that was kind of it.
Would you call that a complete game from Penn State? Would you say that was, because you mentioned, and I think you make a great point, even in the second half when they were going on this run, it wasn't just three-pointers. They were getting into the paint. They were able to make some plays near the cup, and they got a couple calls too. So, you know, not that we want to revisit that particular part again, but do you feel like that was a complete game for Penn State?
Yeah, I did. I thought except for, and this is maybe more interesting to me than it will be other people, Micah Shrewsbury kept the starters in for almost the duration of the game. I mean, he brought in a line change, I would say, with a minute 30 to play. And at that point, it was probably a 22-point game, a 24-point game, something like that. But they didn't actually get in for a stoppage until the last 29 seconds. So he kept the starters in and really made an emphasis. He talked about it afterwards of, hey, keep playing. Right. Get this experience. Keep playing. Finish this off. And I think that they didn't. Michigan had
a little loose in the final 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think that is an appropriate way to describe it. Just turnovers that were uncharacteristic and empty possessions down the floor. You name it. And points allowed to really the deepest parts of Michigan's bench. Right. Howard went to his bench and Micah Shrewsbury did not. So, other than that, which is a very, very small gripe given the circumstances and how much Penn State needed to win that game, it was very much a complete effort.
This is the Blue White Illustrated Hoops Show. I'm Thomas Francar, Nate Bauer. We're bringing you the information, recapping the game against Michigan. And, of course, we're going to preview the game with number one Purdue coming up tomorrow. So, make sure you help us out here if you're watching on the YouTube channel. Like the video. We're still trying to grow this particular show. And if you want to subscribe to Blue White Illustrated here on YouTube, make sure that you hit notifications. This show goes just a thing for people on YouTube. We put this one on the basketball playlist. We don't put that on the BWI Daily Edition, so you might miss it if you're looking for it there. So make sure you're looking in the right spots for the Hoop Show. And if you're listening on the podcast version, I love you. Thank you for supporting the show. Please continue to do so. Make sure you like, give the review, all that great stuff. And, of course, tell your friends. Tell your friends. Tell your friends about Penn State basketball, that they're good this year, that even if they don't make the tournament, this is a good team and this is a fun team to watch. So spread the message. That helps us out. Nate, I want to ask you one thing that kind of goes off of that particular conversation, which is, how was the environment? You know, we talked a lot about that, of this was an important game for Penn State to win, to show well on television, to entice fans and say, hey, it's worth coming to State College on your Sunday. How do you think that all turned out? Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. Like, it would seem like a good environment. I wouldn't call that, like, electric. Just watching on television from my couch, it seemed like there were people there, but it wasn't necessarily what you're talking about when building a home court advantage. Is that fair from the outside looking in?
Yeah, I'm cognizant of a couple of things. The first that I'll say is, do you see how I'm sitting here, arms folded, and we're having a nice, normal conversation.
Yeah.
In terms of volume, yeah. Anybody that was in that stadium for the first 30 minutes of that game could do the exact same thing to the person sitting next to them. They sat there kind of just like this and, hey, what do you think of that shot? That was okay. That was a good shot. Right. It took really until they got to kind of the halftime buzzer for anyone to stand up, for anyone to actually have an audible clap. I think
you're
there's
talking
a balance.
About non-fans or not non-students, right? Non-students in this
Correct.
Conversation.
Okay. Correct. But students are only going to make up 20% of the crowd, maybe.
Right. But those are the those are the people that are primarily on television. And for people that watch at home, I think it's important to make that distinction of just off camera, there's a lot of people sitting in seats like you just described.
I'm wary of hammering it too hard. I just think that there are certain battles that that Micah Shrewsbury is trying to fight, but also understands, look, anybody who's coming out, that's a positive. Okay. Mm-hmm. And on Saturday it was reported at 12,000 plus 12,047, something to that effect. That's not his real point. If you read between the lines of what he's like, he's begging for, hey, get up, mm-hmm. Stand up. Be active, be loud, do those different things. And so by the end of the game, I thought it got there. It got to a better place where there was more energy, more environment. But if you're not rocking during an 18-0 run where you're like curb stomping an opponent that has really had success against you in the past, like, you know, it's just.
Especially it's, Michigan. Like, it doesn't matter the sport, Michigan, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. for sure. And so it look, it is what it is. But I think something that as they continue to win, there will be more opportunities. Penn State plays next at home on February 8th for a weeknight game against Wisconsin, but it's later. It's like an 8:30 start, you know, so just we'll see. Right. We'll see if they can create those similar or same environments or improve upon those environments based on the people that they get into the stands. But yeah, it's, you know, it is kind of what it is at this point.
Yeah. And you make a good point. The reason I wanted to ask about it is because we've talked about it a couple times this year, and I wanted to follow up kind of not an autopsy, but you know, just a check in of, hey, how did that go when it was, I think, the ideal script, the ideal game script for what could happen to get that excitement. So that's a good report, and I'll be asking for those as we continue to go through the basketball season.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Better.
Right? I'm just trying to get to the next thing on the rundown, truthfully. So let's get to the next thing on the rundown, which is you beat Illinois, you come back and you struggle, you play so poorly on the road against Rutgers, and then you play so well at home against Michigan. This team, I think they've proven, like I said already, they are a talented team. They can do a lot of really good things. It's getting them the same team to show up each week. And I know this is something you talked about and kind of was the conversation yesterday at the media availability. So why don't you kind of tell us and walk us through how everyone addressed this particular topic at that?
Yeah, it's just been a roller coaster of a season. I don't think that I think it is appropriate to acknowledge how difficult the schedule has been in terms of creating consistency for this Penn State team, right? Beating Iowa on New Year's Day, that's a winnable game. They're at home, that's a winnable game. At Michigan is a harder game. That's right. And so you win, you lose. You lose to Purdue, and really at that point, backs against the wall, come back and beat Indiana, then go to Wisconsin, a place where they've never won, lose, return again for a home game, backs against the wall, beat Nebraska, right? So you've had this wild swing from game to game, and multiple at this point, I would call them three or four moments of, hey, these are, it's so cliche, like must win games is something that I hate to say, but they're must win games for this team to get to where they want to go. And they've passed all of those tests, right? They beat Indiana, they beat Nebraska, they beat Michigan. Now they have to go on the road and play the number one team in the country. So establishing momentum, establishing any type of building, like a crescendo of success, has been really, really challenging for this group. And Andrew Funk talked about it a little bit and some of the frustrations attached to it.
Yeah, it's hard, to be honest with you. You know, we'll win a game like yesterday and we'll think we're on top of the world, and you know, you'll lose a game the game before that and you'll think the world's over. So I think that's kind of where being seniors comes in, where it's like we've played these seasons before where, yeah, guess what, we might not win every game. We're not going to lose every game either. And I think it even goes a step further in the Big Ten to just acknowledging how tough this league is. If you just look at the standings, just how bunched up everything is. So I think, like you said, mitigating that, you know, Miles' favorite thing is never too high, never too low. And I think that, you know, kind of carries forward for our whole team, and making sure that message is received, and, you know, by the freshmen as well, as you know, we lose a game, it's not the end of the world, but guess what? If we win a game, we got to come back and play the same way the next one. So I think that's kind of been our message to our whole team so far.
And that showed up, you know, pretty clearly in what you just ran down of how things have gone. So how do they get that? How do they bottle that and take it on the road and be not this team for the rest of the schedule?
I mean, let's dive right into why it is, right? It is not, I don't think it is necessarily a black and white. This team doesn't play well on the road. It's this team doesn't shoot well outside of the Bryce Jordan Center. If you look at the games that they've played since the start of the new year, it is a really dramatic difference between the games that they've won, the games, well, first of all, like flatly, games that they've won, Iowa, Indiana, Nebraska, and now Michigan. So four games that they've had at the Bryce Jordan Center, and the four games, Purdue, Wisconsin, and Rutgers, and Michigan, that they've had outside of the Bryce Jordan Center, right? So the Purdue game counting at the Palestra. The numbers are stark. I ran them yesterday. They've made 120 of 226, so 53.1% from the floor and 46.3% from three at the Bryce Jordan Center. 51 of 110, like 46% really from good. Three will win you a lot of games. Yeah. Okay. Now take it outside of the Bryce Jordan Center. 92 of 223 shots, 40.8%, which is, it's not horrible, but that's not good.
It's 10% lower.
It's 13% lower.
Oh, geez.
12%, they're shooting 12% worse on the road from the floor. And from three, it's 29 of 96, which is 30.2%. So they are shooting 16% lower from three on the road. That's it. And if you look at a lot of these games, I know that Rutgers ended up being a 20-point loss for Penn State, but a lot of these games have been possession or two games, right? So at Michigan was a possession game with 2 or 3 minutes to play. At Wisconsin was a three-point game. It finished as a three-point game, but it was a tie game going into the home stretch. And at Rutgers was a three-point game with maybe 6 or 7 minutes to play. So like they've been in games, and if those shooting numbers are even meet in the middle, right? Like, so instead of being 13 points worse in shooting, be 7 points worse. Those are wins. Those are wins for Penn State. So being able to figure that out, you expect to shoot worse on the road. That is a part of the game. Everybody anticipates that, but it is just something where they've got to figure it out. And as Andrew Funk said yesterday, they're short on answers, but they are high on solutions, like things that they think will be able to help remedy it.
Yeah, I wish I had that answer too, because I wish we would shoot, you know, whatever we do at home. But I think it's a little bit about keeping routines the same. Obviously, things change on the road, you know, with staying at hotels, your shoot around times, whatever. So I think that has a big part of it. And, you know, I think another part of it is creating the good shots. I think we've played really good offense at home in general, and I think that plays a big part into just making shots. So I think, you know, us being seniors, stepping up, making sure that our, you know, heads are on the right way when we play on the road when things go a little sideways, and, you know, making sure we're getting the great shots. And then I think whether we're at home or on the road, if we get high-quality looks, we're going to make a decent clip of them.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So one thing I want to point out that I think is interesting, and this is true now everywhere, is like transfers don't create true seniors in a lot of ways. You think about it, part about being a senior is not just that you're a veteran, but you've been to a couple of these places more than one time. You've been on the road. You've seen what it's like at Michigan. Andrew Yep. Funk's never been to Michigan, right? Like even Jalen Pickett is in his second year of being at all these away venues. So there's a good portion of this offense that hasn't ever been on the road. They don't have that veteran familiarity.
Yeah, no, I think that's an excellent point. I do. And Andrew Funk has been a big part of it. He is a huge reason why they've had a ton of success at home. And he's also a big reason in some of his shooting performances on the road, why they've come up short. So, but it's not like a guy like that doesn't know the deal, right? He's played in away venues. They may not be to the level of a Big Ten venue, but he's had those experiences. And I think what I dialed in on from what he said yesterday was talking about routines and, you know, just kind of talking to people in the program. What I've gathered is they are really, really trying to, like, it's a thing at this point. Okay. You're halfway through the Big Ten season. This is a thing. It's gone from maybe, like once or twice is fine, but now it's a thing. Okay. Yeah. They haven't had success on the road and shooting has been a big part of it. And so I think what they're really trying to do now is simulate as much of the home game experience as you possibly can. And that might sound stupid in terms of like, no, you can't shoot on your same rims. You're not sleeping in your own bed, all of those things that he mentioned. But what you can do is try to have the exact same pregame routine, whatever it is, right? When you eat, when you meet, when you shoot before the game, how long you shoot, the types of shots that you take, all of those things. If you can try to replicate the experience of preparing and playing in a game as much as you possibly can, it's a possibility that will lead to some dividends for this team. And I mean,
yeah, it's the psychology of it, right? It's the psychology 100%. Of sport where the batter has to take the same steps every time in the batter's box. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, no question. And so they are going to give that a go, and it matters quite a bit because 6 of the last 10 in the regular season for this team are away from the Bryce Jordan Center, and it's actually 7 when you count at least one game in the Big Ten tournament, right? Yeah. And so this team has I don't know how, like, I don't want to spend time addressing bubble and all that stuff. That's for other shows as they get closer to it. But if they're a bubble team right now, and we're projecting 5 wins out of the last 10 as being necessary to get into the tournament or to feel good as though it's an automatic type situation, they're going to have to win one on the road.
Yeah.
One of these games is going to have to be a win for Penn State. And when you run through the schedule of their remaining road games, these are the records that their remaining road game home record.
Right.
For these teams.
The opponent, their record at home.
Correct. Purdue is 10-1 at home. They're the best team in the country. So
yeah,
that is what it is. If Penn State beats Purdue on the road, hang a banner from the rafters. Because
that's a quad 1A win.
Correct. at Nebraska. Nebraska is not a great team. Penn State beat them a couple of weeks ago, but is 7-3 at home. Maryland is a team, like a bunch of these teams are kind of packed and condensed in the middle of the Big Ten with Penn State, including Maryland. Well, guess what? Maryland's 11-1 at home this season. Minnesota is the one that Penn State has to win on the road, has to happen. Minnesota's 5-7 at home this season. Ohio State has not had a great year in the Big Ten this season, but they're 8-2 at home. And it's been, that's always been a very challenging place for Penn State. And Northwestern, who is, you know, kind of sitting there at 2 or 3 in the top of the Big Ten standings, surprise, surprise. A big part of that is the fact that they're 10-3 at home. So
some of these numbers are shocking. Like I did not realize some of these numbers. That's impressive.
Yeah. So Penn State has a very, very challenging road ahead. They're more attainable wins, I think, for Penn State. Mm-hmm. But it's still going to demand at least one win on the road for a team that just has struggled. This is a Penn State team that has not played its best basketball. You can account for, and Mike Shrewsbury talked about it on Monday. You can say, okay, well, Penn State just really does shoot it very, very well and plays very, very well at home. That's fine. You can account for that and say, okay, these numbers are somewhat inflated, but also there's the flip side of it is, okay, they've got to be better than what they are on the road. Mm-hmm. These have not been their best performances or anything resembling their best performances based on what they've proven that they're capable of doing. So it's a big thing that they've got to be able to address and try to fix moving forward.
So this is the Penn State BWI Hoops show, and we are talking about Penn State coming off of an incredibly fun win over Michigan, and looming in front of this, as you just mentioned, the first one up on that road trip is the number one team in the nation. Yep. 10-1 at home, the Purdue Boilermakers. That's coming up tomorrow. So what's your read on this particular game?
Yeah, I think it's hard, right? This is going to be a real challenge. I think the quote that I sent you and that you'll play here kind of to close this out of Andrew Funk is appropriate. It's the fact that this is a Penn State team that has to play with nothing to lose because they don't have anything to lose. Nobody's expecting them to win this game. Nobody's expecting them really to even lose a close game. It is going to be projected to be a blowout in Purdue's favor, and Purdue has every reason for that in Zach Edey. Zach Edey is just a total monster on the basketball court. He's a huge human being, but also a very skilled human being. I mean, that's the thing that kind of gets lost in the equation is, yeah, he's abnormally large as a 7'4" guy to begin with.
Yeah.
But he's also extremely skilled. And so he had 30 points against Penn State in their first meeting, just had 38 the other night. Like, this is just a guy who is going to be the Big Ten Player of the Year. He's probably going to be the National Player of the Year. That is a massive, massive monster to try to slay, but one that I think, depending on Penn State's attitude going into this, and I think it's if what Funk said is what they're able to carry through, it's the right attitude, and it's the attitude that will unlock success for them, which is, hey, take your shot, right? Yeah. Swing the bat. Try to hit the home run. It's a strikeout does not end the game. And so if you're going to step up into the batter's box, take your swing and try to get, again, all of these higher statistical, right, anomalies of they've never beaten a number one team in program history. Okay, that's fine on its face. You try to do that, but also within the goals of what this Penn State season is, hey, if you beat Purdue, all of a sudden you've basically bought yourself 2 wins, right?
Yeah.
This is a 2-for-1 when it comes to net and when it comes to KenPom and all of those different things. When it's tournament time, go beat Purdue and your life is so much easier. There's so much less stress on finishing out the season in the most positive way possible.
And the way that Micah Shrewsbury talked about Zach Edey, you know, you gave the characterization of it, but literally the words he said, we're gonna play him now. The way he describes him is different, right?
We're just gonna play as hard as we can. We're gonna try and make it as tough as we can. And he's a player here in the country, man. He's having a fantastic season. You can't let him, like, take your spirit
That's the biggest thing. You got to fight every time down the court. Like, it's easy when he's scoring. Like, to just get your head down. It's like, oh, man, another possession. But you got to fight. You got to compete. You got to come back. You got to fight. You got to do it again. Because as soon as he takes your spirit, like, that's when he gets 40. Which he was really close to doing yesterday. And against us.
I love how he characterizes it like a Mortal Kombat finishing move. He takes your spirit, just sucks your soul out of your body, and then he gets the fatality.
Yeah, you can't get dejected by it. And something that Seth Lundy said that I think is extremely appropriate if you're Penn State is, oh, okay, Edie presents his own problems, okay? He's getting 2 points every trip down the floor. Mm-hmm. This is a Penn State team that ripped off 18 points in 3 minutes the other day.
Yeah. But
like, Penn State getting hot from deep is its own brand and its own unique challenge. And so just as much as Penn State is spending time trying to figure out how to prepare for Zach Edey, Purdue's doing the same thing to figure out, okay, what's the poison that we're willing to live with? Yeah. Is it Jalen Pickett getting his points close to the basket? Is it him kicking the shooters? There are all kinds of balances and trades that have to be made, but only if Penn State makes those shots on the backside right. of those plays. It doesn't matter if Penn State is missing.
Yeah, we saw it. We saw it in the first game of the Palestra when they were hitting shots. They were with this team. They can play with this team. But I think the moral from the last game, outside of everything else we talked about, was Zach Edey. Okay, whatever. I don't know what to do about that. Sort of is kind of the vibe.
Yeah.
Nobody else can go off. Like, correct. Nobody else can have a good game. So playing good defense and Micah Shrewsbury. One of the things that he said yesterday was, we didn't play good at all in that game against Purdue, and it wasn't just about play in the post. It was everywhere. Yeah. So how do you see this one playing out? Can they be competitive with it? Do you think they will be competitive with this team late in the second half?
Oh, no.
Mm.
No, I just... here's the thing is... you know, these guys have demonstrated an ability to play. Now, maybe Illinois is the reason why, like, the way that Penn State played at Illinois. They made shots. They shot 50% from the floor. They shot 50% for the game from three. And they really kind of blew the doors off of Illinois in that December matchup. Mm-hmm. It's in this team. It is a possibility. It is something that they're capable of doing. I think that even with that type of performance, Purdue is still going to be a monster to try to defend and to try to keep off the scoreboard themselves. So, okay, maybe Penn State shoots the lights out of the ball and they are competitive. That's what they're going for, right?
Yeah.
Is to get into a 3 to 5 point game in the last 4 minutes. If they can do that, then we'll see. But I just think given the nature, it will demand a reversion or a different outcome in shooting from anything that they've done this year, calendar year, right? So over the last 4 weeks, they are going to have to do something different from what they've done previously to have that success. And until that happens, I can't sit here and say, oh yeah, this is the one.
Like, yeah,
it's not until they do it.
We'll let Andrew Funk, who's quickly becoming one of my favorite characters this year, let him have the final word on whether or not they're going to go into that game and win it.
In my mind, that's exactly how you approach it. No one expects us to win. We're playing with house money, whatever it may be. You know, with the guys that we have, you know, with Seth next to me and everyone in our locker room, we're not going to go into a game expecting not to win. We're playing the number one team on the road. It's going to be a really tough game, really tough environment. We're going to have to play really, really well. But at the same time, we love the guys in our locker room. We love what we're going into it with. We love the coaching staff that we have. So we need to acknowledge that we need to play really, really well. They're a really good team, well coached and whatnot, and it's hard to win there. But at the same time, we need to keep that same confidence in ourselves, the same confidence that we played with yesterday, and bring that momentum going forward.
I made the joke earlier this year, have you ever seen him smile? I did not expect, based on his body language, for him to talk that fast. Like, he is just such a fascinating individual. I'm enjoying getting to know Andrew Funk from a distance this year.
He's great. He's great. And I mean, even when he first committed to Penn State, he demonstrates all of the things that you want to bring in a graduate transfer, right? He's a guy who was the guy at Bucknell, and you're able to parlay that into a less pressured situation at Penn State, but one where he can still bring all of the attributes of a team captain into the program. Like, it's just a total win for both sides. It's been a very, very good marriage, and we'll see what happens Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, 6:30 on BTN. As always, BlueWhiteIllustrated.com to follow along with Nate for the in-game thread. You can talk with him on the Lion's Den message forum. Sign up for just $29.99 to get access for football, basketball, wrestling, and more, all until next football season. So a great deal, $29.99 for all of that time for you to subscribe. Like everything, post everything. Everyone wants you to be all in on all of their stuff, and we're no different. So thank you to all the people that have bought into Blue White Illustrated. We'll be bringing you more content. Of course, the live show coming up tonight at 7 p.m. If you're watching this before then, tune in at 7. We're going to be talking about and previewing National Signing Day, which is tomorrow. Does Penn State get one more commit in the class of 2023? We will find out then, unless you're watching this on Wednesday, and then you already know. So leave your comments in the comments, and we'll talk to you then. We'll be back with a live show coming up at 7. We'll talk to you then.